The scripture reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 all the way to verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in them, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. My name is Wen Song, and I'm a pastor here in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Our church started on a sermon series from the book of 1 Timothy. Most of the sermons are available on our website and can be found on the Sermons tab, and you can listen to it in your own time. But if you would like a short overview of what you have missed these past weeks, you can also follow us on Instagram at AMKPC. Thanks to the hard work by the Instagram team that is putting together, we are blessed by their weekly reflections in our 1 Timothy series. And if any of you who is keen to use your gifts and you have talent to draw or to write and would like to serve in the social media team, you can contact Pastor Jordan and to let him know and to indicate your interest. This is Eric Liddell. He is famously known as the Flying Scotsman. He represented Great Britain in the 400-metre race and won the gold medal in 1924 in Olympics. He also won the bronze medal in the Olympics for the 200-metre category. But in actual fact, Eric Liddell was a 100-metre runner. Unfortunately, the 100-metre sports heat fell on a Sunday, and Eric Liddell had to forsake that race, all so that he can worship God and keep the Sabbath. Wow, how many of you would have, like Eric, given up an Olympic race just to be at a church service? How many of you would have given up your dreams and goals just so that you can be faithful to God? It is important to recognize that Eric Liddell did not become godly overnight. Just like his physical training for running, it was a lot of hard work that Eric had to put in to become godly. So in today's sermon, I hope to share with us the importance of training ourselves for godliness, but not just for ourselves, but for others as well. So before I begin, allow me to pray as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this day and ask, Lord, that you open our ears and our hearts to heed your word. Soften our hearts that we may recognize the areas in our lives that you might be speaking to. Give us the integrity to hear our own weaknesses, the courage to repent from them, and the faith to persist in being godly for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we have been introduced to this letter that Paul is writing to his young disciple, Timothy, as Timothy leads the church of Ephesus. At that time, they were facing the issue of leaders in the church teaching a gospel that is contrary to the true gospel. A gospel that required abstinence from marriage or certain foods. Interestingly, Paul tells his disciple to have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. It is interesting that Paul uses the word gymnazo to describe how one becomes godly. Paul intentionally uses an athletic term to denote how one can be godly. He continues to elaborate his intentional use of gymnazo and say that while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul is comparing physical fitness with spiritual fitness. I think the Message version brings out a very interesting perspective that we can consider as we understand training in godliness. This is what the Message version says. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workout in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. Exercise daily, no spiritual flabbiness. These words are like a dagger to my heart because, as you can see from my disappearing jawline, that I am not physically very fit. This brings me to shame, not because I do not own a physique or a body that is very selfie-worthy. I am ashamed because I totally understand why Paul used physical fitness to describe spiritual fitness. That just as one can be physically unfit, so is it with our spirituality. And throughout my preparation of this sermon, it seems that God is very interested about my fitness, both physical and spiritual. And I believe God is also concerned for our fitness as well. Did you know that the men who went to the gymnasium in ancient Greece often went naked? In fact, that's what gymnos, the root word of gymnasium, mean. It means nudity. Men came to these gyms and trained naked. It would have been clear and obvious if you were fit. There was no way that you could have masked your fitness. And so is it with our spirituality. It would be clear, obvious when someone is godly. It will exuberate in and through him. But therein lies the problem, isn't it? We have many Christians in this world, but not many that are godly. We tell the world that we are Christian. We tell them that we believe in Jesus Christ. But when they start to look into our lives, they don't see a lot of godliness. And even though we go to church each given Sunday, it shocks our colleagues and friends that we are even Christian. Just this week, I met a fellow Christian that told me that she was shocked to realize that her screaming and yelling superior was actually a Christian. The truth is this: many of us have become spiritually flabby, like the Message version says. And just when we think no one notices our spiritual slack, or our lack of godliness, that's when we are wrong. The word godliness can simply mean God-likeness, or someone who is like God. not in the sense that we claim God's divinity, but as someone who lives like the one he worships and obeys. And this gradually makes him like the one he reveres. So, one who is godly because he is godlike. And godliness is something that Paul knew didn't come naturally. It is not in our sinful nature to pursue godliness. Godliness requires hard work, requires intentionality and effort. In fact, this is not the first time Paul alludes godliness with a sports analogy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us with endurance run the race that is set before us." Paul alludes to living a godly life to a race that is set before us. Other than the fact that running this race is surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in this race of faith, he intentionally makes the distinction between weight and sin, and that we are to lay both aside to run this race. Paul differentiates weight and sin, but states that both are that which will hinder our progress. Many Christians stay clear of the major sins, and we know that we cannot commit. We avoid them because we know this is God's command. But what we don't lay aside is the weight that might hinder us from running this race that is set before us. Ajith Fernando, a pastor, has this to say about Christians. Let me read to you. "The quest of many Christians today is to find out how far they can go into the world without disobeying God's explicit commands. Many today are flirting with the world and have become so encumbered by weights that they make no progress in their spiritual life. These people are looking for a Christianity that is both legitimate and yet has as much of the world as they could possibly squeeze in, wanting the best of both worlds." Yes, for many of us, we avoid the explicit sins that Scripture warns us about. But do we also lay aside the weight that encumbers our spiritual race? An athlete will well know not to dress in bulky or heavy clothes that might hinder his or her progress in a race. But do we lay aside the weight that hinders us from the race that God has set before us? So, weight may not necessarily be bad or evil things. But the truth is, weight hinders us from a good race. These weights can really just be anything that hinders us from our faith, from our growing, and it can be things like our work, our aspirations, this innate desire to be successful. And like I said, these things are not sinful, but it can become encumbering for us in our journey to become godly. Or are we perhaps a little bit closer to what Pastor Ajith Fernando says? Flirting with the world, being encumbered by the weights that we make no progress in our spiritual life. So far we've covered that Paul intends Timothy to train in his godliness. We noted that the intentional use of gymnazo suggests that it has to be an intentional process that requires hard work and effort, and that godliness doesn't come naturally, but requires training. But how can we tell if someone is indeed godly? Does Paul give us any insight in spotting a godly person? Yes. He continues to charge Timothy to command and teach and also set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And just as Paul intended for Timothy to use this checklist to get his godliness in check, I think this list can also prove useful for us to do a spiritual health checkup for us today. So, as I run through the various aspects of what it means to be a godly man, may I invite you to take time to assess whether you are in this spiritual journey of godliness. Speech. Are we an example in the way we speak? Are the words that we use building others or tearing them down? Can others tell us apart from our word choices? Or do we sound just like the rest of the world? I think this is especially so when we are frustrated or upset with a particular situation. So in those moments, what are the words that come out of your mouth? And can others tell that we are distinctively different from the rest of the world? From our speech, can others tell that we are godly? How about our conduct? How do you conduct yourself? Is your Christian conduct only reserved to Sundays or at the most during CG? Can our colleagues and classmates tell that we are different in the way we carry ourselves? The way we do project work? The way we present? Or are we conducting ourselves as Christians only in the presence of other Christians? Or are we intentionally conducting ourselves as a representative of Christ to our family members, colleagues, classmates, and even our friends? How about our love? Are you an example of godliness in your love? When everyone chooses to cast out and to ostracize, are you choosing to love? When others gossip and make fun of someone who is different, is your response love? Or is your love mostly reserved for yourself? A self-preserving kind of love that seeks only of your own interests and not that of others? Is your love reflecting our Christian gospel that speaks of a God who loves all people? How about our faith? Are you an example in faith? Can others see and tell that you are indeed a man of God, a man of faith? Can they look to you to find this deep-seated trust in your Lord, that despite the world that is crumbling around, you have this steadfast faith that doesn't shake nor wither? Can other believers take you as an example or a role model that would encourage them to increase their own faith? Does your faith inspire others to find and discover faith in God? And lastly, purity. The word purity usually denotes sexual purity, but it is more likely in this context that it is used to denote purity in our worship to God. So is God our sole subject of our worship? Or are we worshiping something or someone else as well? Have we polluted our worship to Him? So how are we examples of purity? Can others see a single focused person who solely lives for Jesus Christ in you? Speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. How did you fare in this spiritual health checkup? If we are honest with ourselves, we perhaps have a thing or two in the areas that really require attention. And may I encourage you to take this health checkup like how you would an actual health checkup, that you will look at the results and ascertain whether the way you are living is right, or whether there's a need to change your lifestyle. In fact, if the results of your medical report is alarming, it may sometimes be an issue of life and death, isn't it? Likewise, the result of our spiritual health may also prove to be a matter of life and death. But not just for us, but for others as well. Paul continues to tell us the importance of being godly in verse 16, and he says this: keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in them, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. For by so doing, you will save yourself and your hearers. It is important to note that Paul doesn't mean that we can in any way save ourselves or become the savior of other people. All the heavy lifting of salvation is entirely done by our Lord Jesus Christ on the finished work of the cross. That is which that save. Our godliness, on the other hand, is the response and the result of that saving. And if we lead godly lives, this will inevitably point others Godward so that they might be saved. So yes, our godliness matters. It reveals how much we understand our own salvation. And it matters to a watching world that is looking for Christians to be godly. The early church father, John Chrysostom, has this to say about the world as they observe Christians. The quote is on the screen. They, which is the world, see our lives open to reproach, our souls worldly. We admire wealth equally with them, and even more. We have the same horror of death, the same fear of poverty, the same impatience of disease. We are equally fond of glory and of rule. How can they believe? 1600 years later, and the words of the early church father Chrysostom still resonate with us in the 21st century. So what can we do? What is something that we can do to train ourselves in godliness? What can we do to shed that excess weight? And what are we to do to rid that spiritual flabbiness? Verse 11 and verse 15 says this: command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. And verse 15, he continues to say, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Remember that Paul was writing all these about godliness to combat the false teachers and silly myths that have crept into the church. Not only does Timothy have to deal with silly myths that are infiltrating the church, he has to recognize the church leaders who were going around advocating these teachings. And if this were not hard enough, we are told that Timothy was considered young. So, Paul's solution, despite the circumstance, was for Timothy to be someone who is godly and above reproach. And the way Paul charges his young protege to ensure that he's on the right track of godliness is to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. The key to training ourselves in godliness is Scripture. And Paul knew that sluggish Christians are those who, after a while, slacken in their pursuit of reading Scripture. And he knew that exhortation and teaching were very important aspects of training in godliness as well. That it is in God's Word that Timothy was to find the true gospel, and it was in God's Word that he would be able to find the good news of Jesus Christ in a world that is filled with fake news. In my short few years doing ministry here in AMKPC, I have come to learn that when someone shares with me that they are not doing well in their relationship with God, it almost always is traced back to them not reading scripture. They will say something like, I don't really like to read, or I find it difficult to understand what's happening when I'm reading. Many of these Christians also confess that it's not that they never try, but they often give up after a while. And so these Christians are often stagnant in their faith. And yes, perhaps they know Jesus, but many of them don't really grow in their faith. And some of them may even be serving in church, but because they do not grow, they do not train themselves in the scripture, they become spiritually flabby, stagnant, and lose their distinctiveness of being a godly person. Godliness doesn't come easy, but it isn't too complex or complicated as well. It's just like physical fitness. It's a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, but it's usually a routine that athletes train over and over again to become good at their sport. Likewise, godliness can be trained when we commit ourselves to Scripture. A group of people came to mind when I was preparing this message, and I would like to speak to you specifically. And I would like to speak to those of you who have fallen out of rhythm in attending church or even CG. Somehow in the midst of this COVID-19 situation, the shifting from an online service to a physical and then now back to online church service, many of you might have lost the momentum in coming to church or have stopped attending CG. Perhaps you cannot find the drive and the motivation to attend church or CG anymore. In other words, going to church or small group has no longer become a priority in your life. To this group of people, may I encourage you to remember that though Jesus died for everyone, his salvation is only for those who believe. So if we indeed claim that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, may this give us the drive to prioritize God in our lives. And can I encourage you to start by coming to church or to reconnect with your CG? For the rest of the church, including me, can I ask that we take some time to be honest with ourselves as we evaluate our own personal spiritual fitness? And just as physical training can be tough and very gruesome, so is it with spiritual training. Practicing the spiritual disciplines can be as tough as always. But I always find that doing spiritual exercises with others to be very helpful. Reading the Bible with another Christian, meeting someone else to pray, or even keeping one another accountable to do our own quiet time has proved to be very helpful. So yes, godliness is not easy. Spiritual exercise can too be very challenging. But God knows that when left out alone to our own device, we will always choose destruction. That's why he gave us his church, that we have one another and we need not be alone in our training for godliness. So can I encourage you to find another Christian and have an honest time to reflect and give each other space to speak truth, to take stock of where you are in your godliness. Help one another evaluate each other in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And discuss how you may help one another become godly. And may I encourage you to consider making scripture one of your priorities in your road to godliness. In closing, I would like to share a photo with you. This is a photo that was taken when Jingshi and I climbed Mount Rinjani in Indonesia. The entire hike was a three-day hike, possibly the toughest climb I have ever had. And there was no way, no possible way in my world that I could have finished climbing that mountain. But it was possible because of Jingshi's presence and partnering to help me up the mountain. She was incredibly patient as she listens to me whine and complain my way up this majestic volcano. The hike was a tough one, but what made it possible, or even to some strange way enjoyable, was knowing that I am not alone, and that I have someone to journey with me on this uphill task. I am still very grateful for her presence and partnering, as she shows incredibly patience to me still. And having her along in this journey of godliness, she has been there to point out the areas of my speech, my conduct, my love, my faith, and purity that needs improvement and needs training. So for all of us, I pray and I hope that the Lord will show you the reality of your own godliness. May you be open to change your lifestyle so that you might be spiritually fit, and in so doing, save yourself and your hearers. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the word this morning. Your word is what you charged Timothy to persist in, the ministry of teaching and exhortation. Forgive us for being spiritually flabby. Convict us this morning to take an honest review of our godliness, that we might train ourselves for the purpose of godliness, that others might by our example be saved. May those who come behind us find us faithful to the cause of Christ, and may our fire of our devotion light their way. This we pray in Jesus' name.